Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabiryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 33, chapter 4, devotional service surpasses all liberation. Srila Prabhupada. The impersonalists desire to merge into the existence of the Supreme, but without keeping their individuality, they have no chance of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. Because they have no idea of the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, there is no chance of their chanting or hearing of his transcendental activities. In other words, unless one is already beyond liberation, one cannot relish the transcendental glories of the Lord, nor can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. Right? So up to liberation, that doesn't mean you understand the Lord. Right? You're only understanding the Brahman aspect, the all-pervading. So it's only when you go beyond that position, beyond liberation, then you can understand the personal form. And you can only go beyond by the Lord's grace. He reveals as you approach. So if you're only approaching for the purpose of liberation, that's all the farther you'll get. But if you're approaching in devotion, then you can go beyond liberation. Does that make sense? So that's why the devotees aren't interested in liberation, because their position is beyond that. Right? Yeah. Jiva Goswami. Here the meaning is, I do not want bliss from merging into Brahman, where there is no happiness from hearing about your qualities and honey from your lotus feet. End quote. Then what do you desire? My wish is that you give me 10,000 ears to hear your glories. Yeah, just like that. So the point is if you're merged in Brahman, you're not chanting the glories of the Lord because you have no senses. So then what's the point? Right? I say, it'd be like merging into a mango but having no senses to enjoy the mango. You know, it's like stupid, right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I do not desire merging into Brahman, Tud, at any time at all, since it brings about sorrow, end quote. Why is that? By merging in Brahman, there is no nectar of your lotus feet, the wealth of sweetness in hearing about your qualities. What type of nectar is this? It arises from the heart of the great devotee and exits from his mouth. The nectar is glorified in this way because it cannot be relished while it is still inside the devotee. Out of great bliss, Preetu glorifies the nectar when it emerges for the devotee because then he can relish it. This is similar in expression to Sukha Mukad Amrita Drava Samyuta. From the mouth of Sukadev, Bhagavatam became liquid nectar. Srimad Bhagavatam 113. By my tasting it, I can understand its sweetness. One should also understand the opposite condition. Just as sweet water becomes distasteful when it mixes with salty earth, the qualities of the Lord become distasteful when emanating from the mouth of a non-devotee. Right, so even you have people describing the Lord's glories, but if they're not devotees, it's not sweet. Like that. You can say, oh, but it's the name, but the point is, it's just like, yes, it's water, but it's been mixed with salty earth. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, what do you desire? Because of the infinite number of devotees talks about the qualities of the Lord, many devotees in many places are speaking in glorification. I cannot reject even one of these talks. Out of great greed, I have a desire for an infinite number of ears. Does anyone ever ask for such a thing? True, it is impossible, but that is my wish, and I have no other. Yeah, so the point is that even though it's not, they're asking anyway. Because it's in connection with the Lord, serving the Lord. Like that. Does that make sense? For themselves, they're not asking. It's just by being absorbed in the glories of the Lord. Verse 1-31. In the fifth canto, Sukkah says, the king gave up everything that was difficult for others to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife, and his family. His opulence was so great that even the demigods envied it. Yet he gave up that wealth endowed with attractive glances. It was quite befitting for great devotees, whose minds are attracted to the service of the enemy, of the Madhu demon. Indeed, even liberation is considered insignificant for those whose minds are attracted to the loving service of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.14.44. Srila Prabhupada. A similar statement is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 14th chapter, verse 44. Sukadev Goswami addresses Parikshit Maharaj there and says, quote, the great soul, King Bharata, was so much attached to the service of the lotus feet of Krishna that he very easily gave up his lordship over the earthly planet and his affection for his children, society, friends, royal opulence, and beautiful wife. He was so very lucky that the goddess of fortune was pleased to offer him all kinds of material concessions, but he never accepted any of these material opulences. End quote. Sukadeva Goswami praises this behavior of King Bharata very highly. He says, quote, any person whose heart is attracted by the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhusudana, does not care even for that liberation which is aspired by many great sages. What to speak of material opulences, right? So the glory here is that attraction to the Lord. It's not the giving up. It's that he's attracted to the Lord. That's the glory. That comes just naturally. That's the whole point, is bhakti is so great that they're so absorbed in the Lord that that's all they care about, that all these material things that everyone else is striving for, that is, even the demigods are envious of, you know, how you say, Bharat Maharaj's position and wealth, that he gives that up so easily. Right? So that's the whole point. It's not that it's very difficult and he's sitting there and gritting his teeth and all that kind of stuff. No, he easily, because Krishna consciousness, the taste is so much higher. Right? That's the whole point. Is that it's so high, they don't care about these things. It's not that they do, but they're gritting their teeth and giving it up anyway because it's the good thing to do, you know, how you say, stiff upper lip and all that kind of jazz. Right? They just don't care. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like if I came up to you and says, oh, here, I found a dead mosquito on the floor. You want? No? So that's how it is for them. They're not interested. They're absorbed in the Lord. Right? That makes sense. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Wealth sends out seemingly kind glances, which say, do not renounce and torture your body with austerities. Stay in your house and I will take care of you. End quote. For such devotees like Bharata, liberation, abhavaha, is insignificant, falgu. The devotees rule over liberation also, but they are not attracted to it. So they don't care for the wealth, they don't care for the liberation, though they have both. They just engage them in the Lord's service. So that's the point. What's useful in the Lord's service, that's what they're involved in. What's not, they're not. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, another thing. Let us say, you know, your refrigerator is full of so many things. Right? Now, you want to make a particular preparation. What things do you take out of the refrigerator? Right? Just everything? No, just what's required for that preparation. You don't take out anything more. Well, what's the consideration? Does that mean that some of the stuff in the fridge is not that good? Right? No, it's all good. Right? It's all good. But the point is, it's not necessary for that preparation. Right? It actually works. Yeah. Does this make sense? So that's the point. Devotional service is there. No one cares for anything else. Right? Liberation, wealth, position, authority, all these things that everybody wants. It doesn't matter because that's not of value. It doesn't add to the taste. Does that make sense? It doesn't add. So there's no need. So that's the whole point, is that whatever works for what you're doing for that taste, that's what they're involved in. So since their taste is Krishna, all other tastes aren't important. So unless it can be supportive of that taste of serving Krishna, there's no value in it. That's the meaning. It's a waste of time. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, okay, I need five things for this preparation. I take out 10. I don't use the other five. I just take them out. Because they're nice. They're good things. I put them on the counter. I make the preparation. Then afterwards, I put them back in the fridge. So was that a useful expenditure of time and energy? No, it was a waste of time. The things themselves are nice, but it's a waste of time. Why? Because they didn't go in the prep. Why? Because they're not useful in there. So that's what it said. The religious principles are useless if they're not connected to the Lord. They're a waste of time. So if they don't support serving the Lord, there's no meaning to it. So that's the whole point of renunciation. So in the beginning, renunciation is that we want something, we give it up. But it's devotional service because we're doing that for Krishna. But when it comes to the point where it's not a matter of renunciation, it's just a matter of being absorbed in Krishna. And so you're absorbed in Krishna, you're only being absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. They only want to hear about Krishna. Therefore, they give up hearing all other stuff. They only want to eat prasad. They give up all eating all other stuff. Because it's of no interest. So that's the glory of devotional service. Not, but you know, why is he giving up, you know, all these things to be engaged in Lord's service? But point is at his stage, there's no advantage. It doesn't add to, right? Previously as the king, then is there, but now his son's grown up. Now his son will run the kingdom. So why is he hanging around, right? So he goes to the forest. Does that make sense? Yeah. 1.2.32. In the sixth canto of Ritta says, O my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruva Loka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire the perfection of Astanga Yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.11.25. Right? So, any position, if it's not connected to serving Krishna's feet, where that is the focus, then he's not interested. Right? You know, and this is, so it's not that he was a small timer and didn't have these, and he's just saying it anyway, right? Remember, this guy had 10 million wives, and he was a king. So that means that they weren't living in a, you know, how you say, some little rental or something, or you know, is that, you know, like that. So point is, they each had their own palace. So he's doing okay, right? So he doesn't want any of it. Unless it's connected to the Lord's lotus feet, unless it's connected to that servant, he has no interest. Srila Prabhupada. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 11th chapter, verse 25, there is a similar statement by Dhritarasura, who addresses the Lord as follows. Quote, my dear Lord, by leaving your transcendental service, I may be promoted to the planet called Dhruvaloka, the pole star, or I may gain lordship over all the planetary systems of the universe. But I do not aspire to this, nor do I wish the mystic perfections of yoga practice, nor do I aspire to spiritual emancipation. All I wish for, my Lord, is your association and transcendental service eternally. Right? That's what he wants. Jiva Goswami, yes.
What is the meaning of spiritual emancipation?
Spiritual emancipation means that you're situated on the spiritual platform, so you're emancipated from the material world. Okay. You're not on the how you say, You're not on the material platform, you're on the spiritual platform. Right? But the difficulty is you're not on the transcendental platform, because the transcendental platform, then with spiritual senses, you serve the Lord. So spiritual emancipation simply means you're freed from entanglement in the material world. Like that. So you see in when they get into fine aspects, as we say, spiritual emancipation, transcendental service.
Yes.
Right? So you see is when they're comparing between spiritual and transcendental, then they'll make that difference. And if we're just talking general about being here as material and going there as spiritual, then we can say spiritual, transcendental, then they're synonyms. It just means beyond. Right? But when you're looking at the actual position of the devotee, then he's not interested in the material world. He's not interested in the in between the material and spiritual world, the spiritual position. He's only interested in the transcendental activities of the Lord and the devotees. So he says, spiritual is the platform on which you function. It's just like we're here and we're listening to the class, right? But where are we situated, right? On the floor. Right? So being situated on this floor, then you're able to take part in these activities. Right? Does that make sense? But if you merge into the floor, then you don't have any senses to hear the class. So what's the point? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is they're not interested in Brahman. Because there's no, and the material world is just doing the opposite of what you should be doing. You're using the senses, but not connected to Krishna. It may be the correct activities, but it's not about Krishna, so therefore what's the point? You know, it's just like, let's say, the guy goes out, he goes to the flower shop, he gets the nicest bouquet that they have there, right? Then he pays for it, in full. Then he leaves, and he gives it to someone else other than his partner. Right? So everything was correct, right? But what's wrong? Yeah. So just because you can say, but the karmis are doing so many things that are useful. Yeah, but then what are they going to use it for? Like the guy, he's buying the best flowers. You understand? Same way. He goes in the kitchen, he cooks the most amazing stuff and does not offer it to Krishna, just eats it. So it's the same thing. It's not about the technique. We tend to make it about the technique. Technique is useful because it's used for Krishna. Right? But the point is when it's used for Krishna, that becomes useful. So, if you can't use indirect things in Krishna's service, then stick to the direct, because at least you're engaged in service. Right? Therefore, the chanting, the reading, the temple program, these kind of things, you're engaged in direct devotional service, so it's good. But as one gets purified and matures, then one can start to see the indirect, the home, the family, the money, the social, all these different things, in connection with Krishna. But it has to be, the goal is Krishna. Does that make sense? So, in the beginning we may not see that, but if we're engaged in the direct, then it more than makes up. But as we advance, then we start to see the indirect. So everything is seen and connected to the Lord. But it's only in support of remembering the Lord, serving the Lord. It doesn't have any other purpose. Because otherwise, if there's the Lord and there's the family, then it's two things. No, there's the Lord and yourself and the family, situated in the family, you are able to engage all that in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So that becomes the important aspect. We understand the point here? So it's not about the secondary. We tend to make it about the secondary. Right? The more we make it about the secondary, then the more it's the Vedic external is different from the modern external. Right? Because the Vedic external is about connecting it to Krishna. Well, the modern is not. And so therefore, then, since it is all about affection for children, society, friends, royal opulence, beautiful wife, then giving these up is wrong. Right? And even within that, then people will make some things. He has affection for his children, but what about all the children of the world? He doesn't only cares about his own. He's so selfish. Society, oh, just his little clique. You know, and everybody else, he doesn't care. Friends, oh, but they think that they're special and unique, and what about everybody else? Royal opulence, you know, who is he? Why he should have all this? You know, it should be shared amongst everybody. You know, beautiful wife, oh, he's only interested in the externals and all that. What about her as a person? What about her as an individual? All this kind of thing. Right? So, even you give up that Christian consciousness, just go for this, still people will criticize you. So get used to that. That go back to Godhead. Don't care. Right? That's the whole point. Since they're going to harass you anyway, right? Then might as well not care and go back to Godhead. Okay. Does that make sense? Yes.
In the second chapter of Bhagavatam, first canto, Suta Goswami is telling, if all the occupational duties does not bring to hearing the glories of the Lord, then it is waste of time. Shrema
Yavai Kevala. Yes, that's the famous. Does that make sense? It's just whatever you're doing, any religious activity, if it's not for pleasing the Lord, it's just a waste of time. Because the jiva's not the body. Making arrangements for the body is only useful as much as it can be serving Krishna, right? It means normally you'd have the spiritual body. It's covered by the gross body, right? So you want to do service to Krishna. That's by engaging the senses, right? Okay? So now engaging the senses in Krishna's service, that's the natural position, right? Spiritual form, spiritual senses, engaged in Krishna's service, that's the natural position. Okay, but now let's say we're in the material world. You know, just as a random example, right? So we're in the material world, and we have a material body, strangely enough, that's got material senses, you know, also quite, you know. And so then, so what does the devotee do? He just, as you would in the spiritual world, just engage the body in the service of the Lord. Right? But as in the spiritual world, then they do their particular service according to their situation. We do that here. It's not us, so it doesn't matter that it's different from what we do in the spiritual world. But the principle of serving Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, that remains. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so that's the consideration of the body. Its only use is that it can be used in Krishna's service. So we only take care of it, maintain it, do the things in as much as it is engaged in the Lord's service. That's all we're doing. It's not more. It's not about the body. It's not about the health. It's not about all this new agey and natural and organic and all this and that. You know, how organic is your computer? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that it's just a matter of, is it useful in Krishna's service? So if the organic is better because it maintains health, and you're using the health in Krishna's service, and it's available, then you eat organic stuff. And if it's not available, then you don't. Right? Because it's not about the health, it's about the service. And therefore, then the service is rendered, you know, when you're healthy. So that's why you do. But it's not about health. Does that make sense? Jiva Goswami. Naka Prishtam, ceiling of the sky, refers to Dhruva Loka. Sarva Bauma means attaining a great kingdom on earth like Prithu. Rasadi Patyam refers to ruling over the lower planets, starting with Patala. Okay. Quote, because I must reject you, Tva, by accepting liberation, I do not desire liberation at all. Apurnar Bhavam, end quote. By placing the four desirable places, Dhruva Loka, Brahma Loka, Earth, and the lower planets, in order increasing insignificance. In order of increasing insignificance. Because generally you say of increasing significance, in order of increasing insignificance, right? Just keeps going down from there. He indicates the greater value of the preceding place. Dhruva Loka is the best, since Vishnu resides there. But even that he rejects, right? Because it's about service. So even if you're in the place where Vishnu is and you're not doing service, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Because then it's just a situation. The Yoga City and Liberation are placed after the lower planets. Of these two, Yoga City is superior to Liberation. Footnote 14. Yoga City and Impersonal Liberation are considered inferior even to ruling the lower planets because of their placement at the end of the list. Impersonal Liberation is placed at the end because in that position there is no opportunity for bhakti. Yoga City gives a little opportunity for bhakti. Right? But it's all about, you know, how often can you serve the Lord by touching the moon? Reach your arm and touch the moon. Yeah, like, Hari Bal, okay. Now, for our next act. You know, it's just, you know, it's like, yeah, okay. So, you know, so it just keeps going down from there. Like that. 1, 2, 33. Lord Shiva also speaks on this subject. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Because wherever they are, they will chant, they will serve the Lord, they'll remember the Lord. Like Prahlad Maharaj is on the lower planets, and he's remembering the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17-48. Srila Prabhupada. This statement is confirmed by Lord Shiva in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 17th chapter, verse 28, wherein Lord Shiva addresses Sati thus, "My dear Sati, persons who are devoted to Narayana, Krishna, are not afraid of anything. If they are elevated to the higher planetary systems, or if they get liberation from material contamination, or if they are pushed down to the hellish condition of life, or, in fact, in any situation whatever, they are not afraid of anything. Simply because they have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Narayan. For them, any position in the material world is as good as another." Jiva Goswami's commentary. The devotees have the quality of seeing or experiencing, darshinaha, everything other than Narayan, as equally worthless, tulyarta, whether it is liberation, heaven, or hell. Because the devotees accept or reject everything only on the basis of favorableness to the Lord. Tulya, meaning one, is similar to the grammatical rule rasabhyam no na samat samana pade, Panini 8:41, footnote 15. Directly after R and sha in the same word, na becomes, what do you call it? Dantyana becomes murdanyana. They are one in the sense of being cerebral in pronunciation. Right? They're one, but they take on this other aspect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what was that? Yeah. Yeah, so it's just a matter of that. It's worthless if it's not connected, and if it's connected, it's useful. That's all. Just like if you have these letters, if they're connected through this rule, then they take on a particular quality. Right? It's the same thing, but then they take on a higher quality. Does that make sense? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Why should the devotees be glorified above others? They are fixed in Narayan and not in anything else. This is explained in the verse. Not only Chittaketu, but also all devotees are fixed. Narayana para sarve. Heaven, liberation, and hell are all regarded. Didn't he just walk by before?
He went out and then.
He went out, and then I looked up, and then he was going out again.
Nithalina?
Yeah. Okay. Heaven, liberation, and hell are all regarded as insignificant because they are not pleasing, being devoid of the happiness of bhakti. So it doesn't matter. There's no interest in any of these because where is the bhakti? Right? But if they're performing devotional service, they don't care if they're there. So they're not interested in them and they don't care about them as long as they can be engaged in the Lord's service. Concerning this, 1234. Concerning this, Indra has also spoken. Those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who do not desire anything material from the Lord, and do not even want liberation, are expert at understanding what is most beneficial for themselves. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.18.74. Srila Prabhupada. There is a similar statement by Indra, the King of Heaven, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 18th chapter, verse 74. There Indra addresses Mother Diti in this matter. My dear mother, persons who have given up all kinds of desire and are simply engaged in devotional service to the Lord know what is actually their self-interest. Such persons are actually serving their self-interest and are considered first-class experts in the matter of advancing to the perfectional stage of life. End quote. 1.2.35. In the seventh canto, Prahlad speaks, nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature? We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, kama, artha, and moksha. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.25. Srila Prabhupada. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, sixth chapter, verse 25, Maharaj Prahlad says, quote, my dear friends, born into atheistic families, if you can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then there is nothing more rare in this world. In other words, if the Supreme Lord Krishna is pleased with you, then any desire you may have within the core of your heart can be fulfilled without any doubt. As such, what is the use of elevating yourself by the results of fruitive activities, which are automatically achieved in all events by the modes of material nature? And what is the use for you of spiritual emancipation and liberation from material bondage? If you are always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord and always relishing the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, then there is no necessity for any of these. Right? So it's that by worshiping the Lord, anything that you could want is there, but you're not interested in anything except that worship of the Lord. And all these things that even if one is saying, but these things are there in the material world, but they'll come anyway by the modes of nature. According to your karma and the modes, they'll come anyway. You don't have to worry about it. Right? You've done the work, it'll come. So what's the point of that? So since that's going, why worry about it? Just absorb yourself in the Lord. Right? It's just like, let us say you go to work, right? And for this week you're working, right? And the end of the week you get a paycheck. Now, do you need to meditate on that paycheck all week to make sure that you get it? No, you're doing the work. It comes anyway by the modes of nature. So that means the whole week you could be meditating on the Lord. Right? You're doing the work. But instead of thinking about the paycheck, you're thinking about the Lord. And that way, then you go back to Godhead. Because the check's going to come anyway. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. By this statement of Prahlad Maharaj, it's clearly understood that one who takes pleasure in chanting and hearing the transcendental glories of the Lord has already surpassed all kinds of material benedictions, including the result of pious fruit of activities, sacrifices, and even liberation from material bondage. Right, because the spiritual world is beyond all this. So those who are transcendentally situated, they don't have to worry about facilities and liberation. They already are on that platform. That just comes because of Yoga Maya arranging for the pastimes of the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay. 1.2.36. There also Indra speaks. O Supreme Lord, you are the deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. Because the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu was most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now, by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, for those who always engage in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of kama, artha, and dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.8.42. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, in the same 7th canto, 8th chapter, verse 42, when the demigods are offering prayers to Lord Nrisimha, Indra, the King of Heaven, says, quote, O Supreme One, these demons talk of our share. These demons talk of our share of participation in the performances of ritualistic sacrifices, but simply by your appearance as Lord Nrisimhadev, you have saved us from terrible fears. Actually, our shares in the sacrificial performances are due to you only, because you are the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices. You are the supersoul of every living entity, and therefore you are the actual owner of everything. Long were our hearts always filled with fear of this demon Hiranyakashipu, but you are so kind toward us but that by killing him, you have removed that fear from within our hearts and have given us the chance to place your lordship within our hearts again. For persons who are engaged in the transcendental loving service of your lordship, all the opulences which were taken away from us by the demons are counted as nothing. Devotees do not care even for liberation, what to speak of these material opulences. Actually, we are not enjoyers of the fruits of sacrifice. Our only duty is to always be engaged in your service, for you are the enjoyer of everything. End quote. The purport of this statement by Indra is that beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, no living entities are meant for enjoying the material opulences. They are simply meant for offering everything to the supreme proprietor, the personality of Godhead. By doing so, they automatically enjoy the benefit. The example can be cited again of the different parts of the body collecting foodstuff and cooking them so that ultimately a meal may be offered to the stomach. After it has gone to the stomach, all the parts of the body equally enjoy the benefit of the meal. So, similarly, everyone's duty is to satisfy the Supreme Lord, and then automatically everyone will become satisfied. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. O Supreme Being, your share of the sacrifice, Swabhaga, has been taken back from the demons by you, Bhavata, who have protected us, Traya Yata Na. The use of swa, your own, indicates that whatever belongs to the devatas, servants of the Lord, actually belongs to the Lord. Our hearts are like lotuses because we have been meditating upon you constantly. Our hearts are your abode, tad griham. But just as the lotus loses its beauty in the night, becomes overcome by ignorance, closes up and becomes discolored, the lotuses of our heart had become afflicted, thinking of the demon out of fear from the very day he was born. Daitya krantam. Now by the coming of the day, by the rising of the sun in the form of Narasimha, the lotus has again been awakened. Pratya bodhi. The lotus being pressed by your feet has opened up. What is the use of the kingdom of Indra, Idam, which is destroyed by time for those who serve you? They do not care for liberation, what to speak of other things such as the powers of yoga. So here the demigods, in these moments like this, they surrender to the Lord, they see everything properly. So that's why these prayers are here in Bhagavatam, because the prayers are proper, they're appropriate. They have the proper understanding and everything like that. Whether they can always maintain that, that's another thing. But the point is they turn to the Lord. That's why they're devatas. So the point is having all that, then they see is that it all belongs to the Lord, and by their grace they are having. So that's the important element, is that that service to the Lord and everything being connected to the Lord, that's what's important. And these other aspects aren't actually very important at all. Right? So therefore, if they don't care for liberation, they don't care for anything else.
Yes.
Right?
So much.
Yes.
Can we say that liberation is the most important happiness from the material point of view?
You could say it's the one that, yes, from the material point of view, it would be the highest.
Yeah, yes.
From the spiritual point of view, it's the lowest.
Yes.
I mean, so from the transcendental point of view. So, because there's no service. But they're looking at it that the experience gained there is the highest. So if you're looking at it from the perspective of what I will experience, the Brahmananda will be higher than that of the heavenly planets.
Yes.
That and mystic cities, yes, and all that kind of stuff. So then when you say liberation, what to speak of anything else, then it applies that way, because like that. But if you're talking about the position on engagement in the Lord's service, then it will be the lowest, because there's no senses to render any service. So then, you know, how that'll be useful.
Mm-hmm.
1237. In the eighth canto, Gajendra speaks, unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus, they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.20. Srila Prabhupada. Similar verse is found in the 8th canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 20. Gajendra says here, my dear Lord, I have no experience of the transcendental bliss derived from your devotional service. So therefore, I have asked from you some favor. But I know that persons who are pure devotees and have, by serving the lotus feet of great souls, become freed from all material desires, are always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss, and, as such, are always satisfied simply by glorifying your auspicious characteristics. For them, there is nothing else to aspire to or pray for. Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur. The unalloyed devotees of the Lord do not desire anything from the Lord. The phrases of this verse are grammatically connected with the verb in the next verse, 8.3.21 of the Bhagavatam, Tam Ire, I worship Him. Thus, the full sentence is, I worship that Lord whose unalloyed devotees do not desire anything. End quote. Why do they not desire anything? They do not desire because they are fully surrendered to the Lord. Bhagavat Prapannaha. They are completely full of the great wealth of surrender. Their bliss is superior to that of all other persons. Singing the auspicious, most astounding pastimes of the Lord, they are immersed in an ocean of bliss. Right? So, Rupa Goswami is bringing out from the Bhagavatam how that happiness that is in Krishna consciousness is so far beyond anything else. Right? Does that make sense? And so, the material world is a place of misery. Right? So even if you're having difficulties within Krishna consciousness, that's just because we're in the material world dealing with the material elements. That's why these things come up. It's not that, oh, this is Krishna consciousness. No, that's the material world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the aspect, is that they're absorbed in the Lord. They don't care for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's that absorption in the Lord that's special, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 1238. In the ninth canto, the Lord of Vaikuntha speaks, my devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Swarupya, Samipya, and Sharshti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.67. Srila Prabhupada. In the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 4, verse 67, the Lord of Vaikuntha replies to Durvasa Muni thus, quote, my pure devotees are always satisfied being engaged in devotional service, and therefore they do not aspire even after the five liberated stages, which are, 1, to be one with me, 2, to achieve residence on my planet, 3, to have my opulences, 4, to possess bodily features similar to mine, and 5, to gain personal association with me. So when they are not interested even in these liberated positions, you can know how little they care for material opulences or material liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so they're not even interested in the spiritual position. Right, of these things, or the facilities there, they're only interested in the service. So if they're not interested on the spiritual platform for all these things, why would they be interested on the material platform from these things that only give misery? Right? So. 1239. In the 10th canto, the wives of Kaliya speak, Those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingship of Dhruva Loka, limitless sovereignty, the position of Brahma, or rulership over the earth. They are not interested even in the perfections of yoga or in liberation itself. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.37. Srila Prabhupada. There's a similar prayer by the Nagapatnis, wives of the Kaliya serpent. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 16th chapter, verse 37. The Nagapatnis say there, quote, "Dear Lord, the dust of your lotus feet is very wonderful. Any person who is fortunate enough to achieve this dust does not care for heavenly planets. Lordship over all the planetary systems, the mystic perfections of yoga, or even liberation from material existence. In other words, anyone who adores the dust of your lotus feet does not care a fig for all other perfectional stages." 1.2.40. The personified Vedas pray as follows. "My Lord, some souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. These rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees, were like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus feet, the lotus of your feet." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.1. Srila Prabhupada. There's a similar statement in the 10th canto, 87th chapter, verse 21, wherein the Shrutis, the Vedas personified, pray to the Lord as follows, quote, "Dear Lord, it is very difficult to understand spiritual knowledge. Your appearance here, just as you are, is to explain to us this most difficult subject of knowledge of the Spirit. As such, your devotees who have left their domestic comforts to associate with the liberated acharyas, teachers, are now fully immersed in the devotional service of your lordship, and thus they do not care for any so-called liberation." In explaining this verse, it should be noted that spiritual knowledge means understanding the self and the supersoul, or supersouth. The individual soul and the supersoul are qualitatively one, and therefore both of them are known as Brahman, or spirit. But knowledge of Brahman is very difficult to understand. There are so many philosophers engaged in the matter of understanding the soul, but they are unable to make any tangible advancement. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.3 that out of many millions of persons, only one may try to understand what is spiritual knowledge. And out of many such persons who are trying to understand, only one or a few may know what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this verse says that spiritual knowledge is very difficult to achieve. And so, in order to make it more easily attainable, the Supreme Lord Himself comes in His original form as Sri Krishna and gives His instruction directly to an associate like Arjuna, just so that the people in general may take advantage of this spiritual knowledge. This verse also explains that liberation means having completely given up all material comforts of life. Right? So this aspect of giving up all material comforts of life, we may see that this means that there's no interest in material comfort. Right? In other words, it's not about the situation. It's about what is the situation for. Right? So when we think giving up material comfort means we give up the situation that's comfortable. But what was being mentioned here is giving up material comfort means giving up the desire to enjoy comfortable situations. Yes. You may be in a comfortable situation, but you have no interest to enjoy it.
Yes.
It's different. Yes. So therefore, then we see persons who are households like these great kings or those great sages. They're on the same platform of not enjoying material opulence.
Yes.
Because they have no interest in it. It's only in what's engaged in the Lord's service. So as a king, they need all facility. But if you retire from being a king, what facility do you require? Right? When he required it, Maharaj had the whole world. But then once the son took up the management, then he goes to the forest. Right? Priyavrata. He's in the forest, engaged in the Lord's service. He needs nothing. Right? Then when the Brahma comes to him and asks him to please manage the universe, then he now has the whole universe at his disposal to organize things nicely. But for him, it's not a matter of sense gratification. Does that make sense? So it's a mentality. And then that will be reflected in the external, that whatever is useful in the service, that's what you have. Now, others may identify it as something comfortable or not, but it's what works in the service. Right? And then when you give, when that's not useful in the service, then it's not used anymore. Does that make sense? Right? So that's just how it works. It just naturally works like that. You need it, you have it. You don't need it, you don't have it anymore.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah.
So Maharaj, can we connect this realization with chit potency, means knowledge and consciousness?
Yes, yes, like that. And then we situate ourselves in knowledge.
Yes.
That we have that proper... Because the chit basically means it's applied knowledge. Then you have that knowledge, so your situation. So you're situated on the transcendental platform where everything's just engaged in the Lord's service. Right?
Yes.
So that combination makes it work. So it's about pleasing the Lord. You're engaging your activities in the Lord's pleasure. You have that knowledge and that situation where you're situated beyond the modes of nature.
Yes.
So, yeah. Those who are impersonalists are satisfied by simply being liberated from the material circumstances. Right? Because that's all. They just are liberated from the circumstance. But it doesn't mean they don't have desire. Right? But those who are devotees can automatically give up material life and also enjoy the transcendental bliss of hearing and chanting the wonderful activities of the Lord. So they're absorbed in hearing and chanting. And so then giving up the material means they just aren't more absorbed in hearing and chanting. That's the point. The impersonalist gives up that opportunity to hear and chant, gives up the material, and ends up with nothing. And somehow or another, having nothing is supposed to be so great. Jiva Goswami. O Lord, the truth about you, Atmatattva, is hard to understand, Dura Vagama. Since the true nature of your form, qualities, and pastimes are covered by the bliss of Brahman. For broadcasting Nigamaya, that truth, you have assumed your spiritual form, Atatano, in this material world. Because right? Krishna, the Brahman, is the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. And he's always absorbed in bliss, you know, with the interaction of the devotees. So he's always covered by his Brahman effulgence. So the true nature of your form, qualities, and pastime are covered by the bliss of Brahman. Right? Some souls who appear rarely, kechit, giving up the fatigue of material existence, pari shramanaha, by swimming, pari varta, in the sweet ocean of your pastimes, charitam, do not desire, pari lasanti, liberation, apavargam. What type of people are these? Even those who were at first engaged in family affairs have given up their households, vish shri ta grita. Through association with the disciplical line, Kula, of the great devotees, Hamsa. Serving lotus feet, may such great devotees and their disciples remain doing this. Right, so, because the household life is so important to everybody, that coming in contact with the devotees, they have no interest in this. That just shows the potency of devotional service and the taste of devotional service. Right? So that's the idea, is that it's just so nice that something that everybody's interested in has no interest. Right? So, but we see householder devotees, why? Because they're engaging that in the Lord's service. That's the taste, not the household life itself. Right? It could be anything, but that's where they're situated at present. If it's favorable for their Christian conduct, they're continuing like that. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
But the point is it's because they've contacted the parampara, the bona fide devotees. That's why it works. Yes?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.